Welcome to this edition of Book Spectrum. I'm Chris Cordani, your host. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and connect with me on LinkedIn. Also, you can hear this show again and past shows on our website, bookspectrum.com, as well as digital outlets including Spotify, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Deezer, and Podcast Addict. On Book Spectrum, we like to delve into a wide variety of topics, and there really aren't many more divisive, aside from politics, than religion. You know the old saying, you don't want to talk about politics and religion at the dinner table. Wars have been fought over differing beliefs. Governments have mishandled populations with multiple religions, and people lose rights if they don't believe like others. Still, are we really that different? Deep down, might all religions be worshipping a form of the same God, but only under different names and entities? We all have emotions. We all have desires, good and evil among us. So how different really are we aside from ceremony? With me to talk about all of this is a man who had a quite interesting religious journey of his own, Rick Preibel. His book, Imagine God, examines religion and where we are and where we can all be united. Welcome to the program, Rick.
Thank you, Chris. I'm excited to share this message with the audience and listeners. And thank you for having me on.
This is not your run-of-the-mill religious book preaching everything to a few people. This is something about you being open about your journey and really open about how others believe as well. And this is the kind of book we like to have on the program. It is often said that a man is created in God's image, though. Now, I suppose he doesn't have a big nose like me or graying hair like mine. But again, I'll digress. I'm pretty sure the thought is not meant to be taken literally, but what are your thoughts on that?
Well, we have all learned that God made man in his own image. What I have come to understand in my own journey is what it means in a way that I've never heard preached before, and it stems from how you introduced the idea of religion on your show, that man is all created with the same feelings and emotions. Now, for me, I learned that as I used to travel abroad. I had an export business, and I found that regardless of anyone's culture, religion, language, age, we do all share the same feelings and emotions. And I asked the question to myself, why is that? Is that just a coincidence? You know, or is that by God's design? And I've determined that that is what it means to be made in his image. In other words, in the same way that people make computers, we make them with hardware and software, God created us, human beings, man. He created us in body and in spirit. And what I've learned, I made the connection between our emotions and God's spirit. And when you delve into that and you ask, and you know, why am I gaining, or why do we all have very unique, specific emotional responses to our experiences, I've learned that we can relate that by connecting the dots to learn about God, his likes and his dislikes and his character. Now, in my book, Imagine God, I support each one of these examples. I have 21 of them in the book, and I'm just scratching the surface with that. You'll find that you very definitely can relate to and develop a personal relationship with God through reflection on your own emotions. A lot of us, if you want me to continue here, we all struggle with things like betrayal, loss of life, being mistreated. And the question is, how do we deal with that? It's a very difficult thing. But if we deal with it by understanding that God purposely gave us these emotions, we can deal with it by being able to relate to God and learn the lessons that he wants us to learn. Conversely, things that make us feel good, when we're valued and we're praised and we feel good about that, or we have an experience where maybe we've created something and we've gained a lot of sense of satisfaction from it, we can also relate that to God. In other words, so God also wants to be valued and praised. God also enjoys creating things. And like us, when people appreciate us for our creations, I'm sure God appreciates when we value his creations and appreciate him for what he's done and what he's provided for us here on earth. That would be the banana that we eat, flowers that we look at, trees that keep the sun and keeps us shaded from the sun and like.
Rick, you are not just a guy who wrote this book and is saying, well, this is my faith, this is the right one, and you're the wrong one. In fact, you have a lot of different perspectives, both personally and within your household. You were raised Jewish. Your wife is Hindu Christian, so a decent mix there. You also follow Jesus Christ now. Of course, being Jewish before wasn't exactly a focal point with the original establishment, but how did all this happen? How did you get perspectives from other religions? And from that, how can other people learn by getting perspectives from other faiths?
Well, I happen to believe that God judges the heart more and above all else. And I'll answer it this way. If we look at Abraham, I think that most religions, certainly Christianity, Judaism, where it began, and Islam, all agree that Abraham is considered the patriarch of religions. And so you ask, well, why is that? You know, and how and why did God consider Abraham a friend? There had to be a reason, right? Now, unlike now, where we have reference with the Bible, we have organized church, mosque, temples. I believe that Abraham stumbled across what I believe my message also shares, which is that his emotions were by God's design. And I believe that's how he was able to relate to God and recognize God's existence. I believe we all are serving and recognize God. He is the same God for all of us. That is my belief. And I believe, as you might, if you investigate this book and this message, you'll come to the same conclusion, perhaps. And so I believe that this understanding of how we're made in his image, this transcends religious differences. And that's why I believe it's so important to consider.
Chris Cordani here, your host. I'm talking with Rick Priebel, the author of Imagine God. I want to reiterate one more time, you're not telling people that your faith is right and other people's are wrong. In fact, what I gather from your book is we're all the same in so many ways. We talked a little about, and we're going to get into this more, about ourselves on the insides, feelings, and the way we are and things like that. But if you read scriptures from various religions, and I'm not even just talking about today's, I'm talking about ancient ones, Greek mythology, Roman, Norse mythology, a lot of lessons learned in their tales or parables or whatever you want to call them, and even the creation explanations kind of overlap quite a bit.
I appreciate that question, Chris. First, let me point out that Scientific American reports that 23% of Americans have foregone religion altogether. And in fact, 36% of millennials worldwide do not feel that religion or God is real in their lives. And I believe that this message is for everyone, including the non-believers. I wonder myself, why is it that so many people don't see God as real? And I've concluded that, well, of course, we all get caught up in the hustle and bustle of our earthly responsibilities, you know, having to make a living for our children, dealing with the things that are so plentiful and things that we have to address in our daily lives, that we tend not to really consider God. And at some point, all of us are in a situation where we're dependent on something outside of what we have put our security in. Our money no longer is going to get us out of the situation, for example. For me, personally, I was almost died when I had a massive heart attack. I ended up having quadruple bypass surgery, and that's when I realized that when it was at the end of my time, or close to it, you know, what was important then? Certainly not the things that I was thinking was important the day before that happened, but rather it was just came down to a couple things, you know, who do I love and who loves me? And then it forced me to look upwards, because the only place to get security from in a situation like that is just the hope that God is there and is going to take care of us. That led me to then return to earth to try and share the things that I've learned about how we can gain a relationship with God to increase our hope. And I call that faith. This message, I believe, could be considered a key, and I believe that this key unlocks a treasure inside all of us. And that inside this treasure chest, let's say, is something worth so much more than gold and silver, rubies, diamonds. And the reason I say that, Chris, is because this message offers us eternal value. And that's why it's so important to consider God in your life. So I say that either you're searching for God or you're not searching for God yet. So anyway, having said that, I will share with you the words from a top 100 book reviewer on Amazon. His name's Grady Harp. And in his words, he described this message as a portal of enlightenment and a restorative treasure. So not just to use my words alone, I wanted to share that with you.
Rick, you and, of course, Grady bring across an interesting point. Back to your phrase, either you're searching for God or you're not searching for God yet. It seems a natural thing for people want to look up to or perhaps worship something or someone. Sometimes people will worship an entity, a god. Other times, some people will worship celebrity or another human somehow or one way. Talk about that need that people seem to have, or a lot of people seem to have.
I think what you'll find that when we start to put our security or our belief behind people, eventually we get let down. We feel betrayed. Something happens where they've done things that are unethical, and we wonder why, you know, we've lost our respect. When those things happen, I think it's important to learn that, well, we can learn from betrayal how to empathize with other people going through these same things, how to appreciate the things that we do have, which I believe God wants us to do, and how to put more trust in God rather than people. If you would, let me share with you a couple of examples where our feelings are connected to God's spirit and how we can learn about him and how his word makes sense to us. I'll share with you two examples. First, we know that God is against people violating the Ten Commandments, right? Well, reflect on a time when you were a victim of someone who violated one of those commandments. But let's say, for example, someone you knew and trusted stole from you or cheated you. How'd that make you feel when that happened? I think the consensus is you feel betrayed. You feel disappointment, anger. Why is that? Why do we all get that feeling? Well, I think that's the evidence we're all made in the image of God. And again, I believe that's by his design. And through that, that's how we know that God rejects that behavior. Now, conversely, let's say, for example, that you go into work one day, Chris, and perhaps you're late because you had a doctor's appointment or something. Now, as you enter into the building, all of a sudden you overhear your colleagues talking in the next room, maybe your manager, a couple customers. They're unaware that you've arrived and can hear them, okay? And you overhear them talking about you. Okay, so now what? Your interest is piqued. You're probably curious to know what they're going to say. You're interested to know how they really feel about you. And this is what you hear them saying. Man, I really miss Chris when he's not here. Man, I can't wait till he gets in. By the way, did you see how well he did that interview again? I'm so glad that, you know, he does this book spectrum. No, really, Chris is really bringing a lot of value to people, and I enjoy spending my day with him. The day goes by so fast. You know, by the way, anyone know what Chris is doing for lunch today? Man, I hope he's got time to, you know, have some lunch with me today. Well, the question then is, well, how do you feel, Chris, being valued and praised? Does that feel good? Of course. And that's how I believe God designed us, so we can easily understand how pleased he is when we value and praise him. So having said that, I think it's important for us to really think during the day, you know, what is God overhearing us say about him and how we feel about him?
With me now on Book Spectrum is Rick Priebel, the author of Imagine God. I'm Chris Cordani, your host. Your statements in the book are backed solidly by many scripture verses. And again, what did it take and how long did it take to write it?
Well, I actually spent 4.5 years writing it. I was taking my time. I was very meticulous about each word. I wanted every sentence to be a 90-mile-per-hour strike. I don't consider myself a writer, Chris. In fact, I could have easily been voted least likely to publish anything. But I did have this message. It came not from a passion for writing, but a passion for delivering this message to help other people discover God for themselves. Now, in business, I'm pretty good at writing emails, and I often can kind of consider this book a long email. I wanted it to be received by a child as well as an intellect. So I was very methodical about the writing. I wanted it to be simple. I wanted it to be short. Because I do have 21 examples in the book, could it be used as in a devotional? Sure, it sure could. And often people tell me they enjoy reading one example a day so they can leave for, you know, for their work or their responsibilities with the thought and the feeling and identifying with God inside of them. But at the same time, or on the other hand, rather, this book can be read within an hour. And I believe that message gets delivered in that time frame quickly. And I've had people tell me that after they read it, they enjoy going back to it to reread it. I think it can be considered a handbook for developing a personal relationship with God.
There are places in each religious text that might be questionable to those from the outside looking in, maybe different faiths. You have some items that could be looked at literally that might scare people or might frighten others or might give, let's say, a radical, an extremist, if you will, the wrong idea or something that they shouldn't have taken literally, they take literally, like destroy those of different faiths. Or your book offers examples of how we all, and I mean everybody, are like each other in many ways. We thrive on praise. We love to create. We want to protect our families. This is common ground amongst most people, and it doesn't matter which religion they follow, and I believe that's a very important point of the book too.
Well, I do agree that people will often look for the writing in Scripture to serve their own agenda. I believe that's why it's important to reflect back into your own being, because at the end of the day, I think, as God says, to treat other people as you'd want to be treated. As I said earlier, I believe God judges the heart. Now, the reason it's important that I did support all my examples with Scripture is because I do believe that God is communicating us through Scripture. And I know there's a lot of evangelists that are very apprehensive about the idea that we can learn about God and Jesus' teachings through reflection of our emotions. And I'm not saying that to them, I'm not saying that perhaps we have to rely on that alone, although without a Bible in hand, I believe we could. I believe Abraham did, as I had already mentioned. But I believe that together they can be used for a certainty of your own thoughts and feelings. It's important to listen to people to learn. However, we have to also make it make sense to our own conscience before we buy into it and act out. Now, the good news is that we don't have to always get it right the first time. And the reason I know that is because God provided us with something that makes sure of that. He gave us what we call memory. We relive our mistakes. We relive our emotions, well, good and bad, until we are able to channel it in a way that allows us to be comfortable. So many of us get caught up with our emotions in a way that it's a struggle. It creates depression. And I'm suggesting that if we learn to look at it the right way by relating to God through them, then it gives us a reason, you know, it gives us an understanding as to perhaps what is it all about in life. I believe that answers it.
Rick, taking the extremists and the manipulators aside, there's always a fringe everywhere. Perhaps what you're saying right now and knowing what you're bringing up in this book and our discussion today might actually bring faiths together a bit better than we have them now.
I hope that's the case, Chris. I believe it should. As I said, I believe we all serve the same God. And I believe this message can be supported by different faiths' scripture, but it certainly is a commonality that we all share. And I do think it serves as a lens that if we all just look at life in a different way, in the way that this message or this lens, if you will, offers, I believe we would all be more on the same page, so to speak, probably treat each other with a great deal more respect. And we would probably enjoy our differences rather than try and create wedges between ourselves.
Exactly, Rick. Rick Preibel is my guest on Book Spectrum. He's the author of Imagine God. The photo on the front cover has special significance for you. Tell our listeners about that.
Well, it happens. I took that photograph. I took that photograph the morning after reading scripture verses. It was the second chapter of Luke, where it discussed the prophecy of Zechariah, who was the father of John the Baptist. And he talks about the coming of the Messiah, but out of nowhere, in the very end of that prophecy, and anyone, please read it yourself to see, it says, by which the rising sun will come to us in darkness to create a path before our feet. Now, it just happened, I had a good deal in a hotel while I was on business on the beach in Melbourne Beach, Florida, that night. I woke up earlier than normal in the morning, flip the drapes open, and all of a sudden the sunrise was coming at me. It felt audible, and I grabbed my phone, opened the door, and took a picture of it. I didn't think much of it at the time, until a few weeks later when at church, they were discussing what people witnessed at the baptism of Jesus. And what they witnessed was this. They said, just as he, Jesus, was coming up out of the water, it was as the heavens were torn open, and as though a dove had descended upon him. For whatever reason, Chris, it drew me back to that photograph, that picture I took that was on my cell phone, and I started to see that this really did look like an image of a dove descending, and there looked like a tearing out into the ocean. And then I started to reflect on when I took that picture and started to see a similarity between that photograph and the language of what I had just read the night before about having a sunrise come to us in darkness to create a path before our feet. And then there was a third component as I felt drawn to just ponder on this photograph, and I noticed that the actual image, considering the sun and the light and the ocean and the clouds on the sides, which looked like wings, actually lined up with the crucifix. So what you'll find on the book cover is the image on the front cover that I took, and on the back cover as it is with the crucifix. And you can find that on my website if you're just interested to look at imaginegodbooks.com.
That's imaginegodbooks.com. Rick, I understand you're working on another book.
I am, Chris. I've pondered this parable of the Good Samaritan, and I actually have an interpretation that I have not heard preached before as well, and so I'm in the process of putting that together. I find that's a little bit more of a specialty, probably would be more applicable to the clergy and people from seminary more than the average person, but it is probably the most contemplated parable in the Bible, so I think it's important, and I'm looking forward to coming out with that. I intend to call it He is the Neighbor, because I believe that in the parable there's so many pronouns of the he being used. And after the first one, each and every he is referring, in my mind, to Jesus, who is the neighbor in the story. And what you'll find, what I found, is that a different story emerges from the one that's conventionally told and preached. I think it'll be of interest to the public.
Rick Preibel, thank you for being with us here on Book Spectrum.
Thank you for having me, Chris. I enjoy sharing this message with people.
Once again, the title is Imagine God. The website, imaginegodbooks.com. You can find out more about Richard there. You can find out more about the book on our website, bookspectrum.com. You can pick it up on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other digital outlets. I'm Chris Cordani. Thank you for listening to Book Spectrum.